Yo, welcome to another episode of the Digital and Social Media Sports Podcast. I am your host, Neil Horwitz. You can find me on Twitter, NJH287. Also on LinkedIn, where you can see more content. The website, dsmsports.net. Also, slyke.co, S-L-Y-K-E. And, of course, follow the podcast on your preferred podcast platform. Just an awesome, awesome show for you guys today. Checking this one off the bucket list. I've never had an investor on the podcast. And my guest on the podcast today is Wayne Kimmel. He is managing partner of 76 Capital. Just offers tons of interesting insight into how they think about the sports industry at 76 Capital, the companies that they've invested in, and why, some of the trends that are playing out right now coming, and what's coming down the pipeline, learning about fan behaviors, learning about industry insights, and how that leads to what we should be thinking about from an industry perspective. Wayne is managing partner of 76 Capital. He's also host of the 76 Capital Sports Leadership Show, a great podcast in its own right, and just cannot recommend this interview enough. Really good stuff with Wayne Kimmel of 76 Capital. Back with today's guest, and I'm so excited to have him on. My guest on the podcast today is Wayne Kimmel. He is managing partner for 76 Capital. He's also a member of several companies' boards. He hosts his own podcast, the 76 Capital Sports Leadership Show. He is so engrossed in this industry and is truly a thought leader in the space. And Wayne, welcome to the podcast today.
Oh, man, it's so great to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Hell yeah. So excited to pick your brain, learn from you. You have such a good insight into this industry, what's happening now, what's coming down the pike. Before we get into the meat of our discussion, Wayne, tell us about you. Tell us about your career path, how you got to where you are today, and any tips for folks that kind of want to try to do what you do.
Well, Neil, thank you again. Thanks for having me on the show. Thanks for just, you know, enabling me to share my story with your audience. I mean, you know, look, I was always... And it's one of the things you always hear from people in the sports industry. I've been a sports fan. I love sports my whole life, but that is me, right? That's what's so amazing about the fact that now, after being in the venture capital industry for over 25 years, but being in the sports side of the world is unbelievable. You know, I grew up in Wilmington, Delaware. I wanted to be a professional baseball player, basketball player, football, anything. I wanted to play in the pros. I mean, that was my whole thing, but unfortunately that didn't work out. So I went to the University of Maryland and I broadcasted the Maryland football and basketball games there. That was as close as I could get, you know, to the field. They let me interview people, but they wouldn't let me go play. No way. I did try out for the Maryland basketball team twice, and I have some pretty crazy stories around that, but that didn't work out. Gary Williams is like, you know, hey, listen, man, you should just sit down and keep broadcasting. But it was really fun. And, you know, then went to law school because that's what nice Jewish boys do. We follow in our dad's footsteps and we go to law school. Right. So I was going to be a lawyer, work, practice with my dad. That was the plan. And then all of a sudden it was the mid-90s and I had these friends that were becoming entrepreneurs. I was learning about these words, venture capitalists and angel investors. And I thought a venture capitalist was something like a Star Wars character or something. I didn't even know what the heck they were even talking about. And, you know, what next thing you know, one thing led to another. And here I am. I went out and started asking people for money and at 29 years old, raised my first venture capital fund, wow. Started investing in companies. It was crazy. I mean, it really was crazy and started investing in these entrepreneurs who wanted to change the world. And, you know, I started, you know, they had this, you know, initial mantra of like going out and investing in smart and nice people who wanted to change the world and meeting people who were doing things in the tech space and the health tech world. And we got behind amazing entrepreneurs and we were the investors behind Seamless Web, and which is now Seamless, and which is part of Grubhub. And, you know, it's like, it was amazing, like to see that. You know, we invested in Seamless 8 years before the iPhone came out. I mean, we were doing online, you know, food orders. It was amazing. And then, you know, backing entrepreneurs who were creating healthcare clinics that are inside of pharmacies. And, you know, we go into a Walgreens today and that was our company, Take Care Health Systems. And that's now, you know, you go in there and if you want to get checked out by somebody, you have a sore throat or something, like that was our company. And it was just amazing. These entrepreneurs who had these amazing hopes and dreams, and we were the investors behind them and board members and supporters and cheerleaders and whatever you want to call it. We were there to just help them make it happen. And that's what it was all about. And, you know, my first real taste of the whole sports world was when we were part of a group here in Philadelphia. We ended up moving to Philadelphia, moving my company here and creating, you know, 76 Capital here back in 99. And you know, there was this group of us that invested in Nutrisystem, the weight loss company. Yeah. And man, it was crazy. Like it was, we were like the third owners of the biz, third or fourth, you know, group of owners. I think we're the only ones that didn't own basketball teams, because like Harold Katz, who owned the Sixers, he was the original founder. And then there was another group that came in. And the guy we bought it from was the owner of the Memphis Grizzlies. And none of us were basketball, you know, we were really in the sports industry at that point. But we bought this, and it became the top performing stock in America for five consecutive years. And we had Dan Marino as our spokesperson.
Yeah, remember all that.
And he's like going on TV like, hey, man, I could lose 12 pounds. You can too. And we're advertising on ESPN and CNBC. And it was wild, wild times. And just a really amazing company. And it was awesome to see that growth. But then fast forward about 8 years ago, you know, I was sitting around my partners and, you know, Chad and John, and we were like, you know, what's that next industry? What's that next big industry that hasn't been disrupted by technology, data, and analytics? And we kept coming back to sports, and gaming. We're like, wow, this is crazy. Like, who are the investors behind them? Who's backing an entrepreneur who has an idea to put a, you know, a sensor and a bat, a ball, a stick, a racket? Who's kind of doing the next thing around gaming, where, you know, 200 million people are playing video games around the world? Like, who's thinking about that from a, you know, on the next sort of the next level? And then there, you know, around the same time, there's this really crazy thing that was happening. There was the Supreme Court took this case that was going to say, like, wait, could sports betting be legal outside of the state of Nevada? And a lot of people were betting that the Supreme Court was going to allow this to happen. And they did. And they did. They ruled this law, PASPA, unconstitutional. And over the last several years, it's been amazing. Backing entrepreneurs all across the sports tech world, the sports betting world, and all across sports, media, and entertainment, and doing some really fun things with really, really amazing people, and helping them build their companies.
So, so cool. I mean, just an inspiring story just to hear about your path. And the name WebVan came in my head too, as you were talking about the early days of Seamless. And I was like, not every company made it that they had a good idea. Maybe it was before their time. Just really interesting stuff there. But I guess for me as a noob and sort of like doesn't really know the ins and outs of venture capital so much, like what was kind of like that early process like of developing, this is why we're going to win, whether it's a thesis or something that you're really good at, we have better relationships, we understand, like nowadays you think about we have better data, or we have, you know, but we're really good operators. Like what was that ability early on, and how did you seek to apply it to sports? It seemed like, you know, that early, I guess, predisposition, or that notion that no one else is really looking at the opportunities in gambling and gaming and data. So what is that like success that the unfair advantage, I guess, for you guys early on, and how has that sort of evolved to 76 today?
I think the really big thing in the venture capital business, especially, you know, getting involved with very early stage businesses, and is understanding who these entrepreneurs are and getting to know them. And that's why I say it all starts with the entrepreneur.
Yeah.
And it starts with someone that we want to get behind, someone who's really smart, obviously. We want to get behind someone who's nice. I'll get back to that in a second. And then we want to make sure that we get behind someone who has a really big vision and wants to build something incredibly big. And something that in many cases, you know, maybe their mom, their dad, their sister, their brother, their spouse, you know, their friend says, man, you're crazy. Like this is not going to work. Come on, like go get a job. Like, yeah. No, but they know that they're able to sort of see around the corner and go like, that's what it's going to be in the future. And I'll go back to this other piece of this nice piece. We want to make sure that we get behind people that we really enjoy spending time with, because we know that we back one of these entrepreneurs, it's not going to be an overnight success. There's no such thing as that. Things take time. You know, it takes time to build a $1 billion company. It takes time to build a really, really game-changing special company. And that means that as investors, as board members, as advisors to these companies, we're going to spend a lot of time with them. Many times I could be spending more time during a week with my, you know, CEOs of our companies here than my own wife or my kids, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, these people better be good people. We better have similar kinds of values. And we're going to similarly, you know, want to also make sure that these people are, you know, just people we want to get together with and talk to a lot.
Yeah. No, I really appreciate that. You hear that all the time about like investing in the person as much as the business or the idea. And sometimes it ends up pivoting and you just invest in really bright, sharp, and nice people. So as you made that shift into sports and with 76 Capital, I mean, nowadays it seems like it wasn't that long ago when maybe I was growing up that sports wasn't this, you know, thing that venture capital was looking at, that now we have private equity getting into the sports ownership space. And there's these it's about billions now and not just millions as maybe it was back in the 90s. So like, did you see that there was this opportunity were you guys early to the game, that sports is an investable asset class? And to say the word sports too is a very broad term. I mean, even, and we'll get into it more in the interview today, of looking at there's the performance side of how are we going to make our athletes better? And then there's the entertainment side, the fan engagement side, the monetization side, the wagering side. So like, what was that the early outlook like for this is an area of industry that's worthy of venture capital when, you know, back when we were growing up, it wasn't seen that way.
Yeah. I mean, I'll tell you, it's really interesting. And it was part of our overall thesis, you know, came back to something, I think a little, maybe something, you know, fairly simple, but fairly complex at the same time, right? We started to think about what is the thing that really consumes all of us. What's the thing, you know, we start thinking about this. We're like, oh my God, like everybody either falls into one of these three buckets, and many of us fall in all these three buckets. Number one is about many of us want to play sports or just work out, right? There's so many people, like, so that's quote unquote sports, right? And then at the same time, people want to watch games. They want to engage with the games in some way. Maybe that could be betting. That could be just having a really great conversation with your friends. But it's also like, how do you then consume these games? How is that being done today? So we started thinking about that's another like area. So it's like people want to play sports. People want to watch sports. And then the third piece is that many of us as parents have wanted or now do want their kids to be the next LeBron, Serena, yep, Caitlin Clark. And we'll do anything and everything to be involved and try to help our kids or other kids become those superstars. And the world of youth sports is unbelievable. And it touches moms, dads, grandparents, brothers, sisters. I mean, it's unbelievable what's going on. So we started thinking about this and we're like, wow, every person in the world falls into one of these buckets. You may hate sports, and you may be the biggest like orchestra fan in the world or whatever, and you never look at a sports, you know, we never watch a game or anything else. But then when your granddaughter's out there on that gymnastic mat, you're like focused, right? You're like, oh my God. Or your grandson's playing baseball, or your son's the star on a basketball team or something like that. All of a sudden, you're like, that is your life. And that's where you're going to spend a lot of money. So we see all that. And we're like, well, this is a world that we want to be in. And we started looking around, like, who are the investors? Who's backing the entrepreneur that are the entrepreneurs that are using technology, that are using data, that are using analytics to make it better? And I'm like, wow, there's not a lot of us. And there still aren't a lot of us out there. Are investing across this right now. But man, it's such a big opportunity. And there's the dollars around all of this, and this multi-trillion dollar sports media entertainment industry is big and getting bigger every single day.
Hell yeah. I cannot agree more with really all those statements. I mean, I think about just the amount of money that parents spend on youth sports is still under monetized in that youth sports area. I think we're still waiting to see even more innovation there. And I love just the aspect of sports being that social glue. It really does like hold up communities. So many conversations start because you may not never meet somebody. You and I can meet on the street for the first time ever, and I notice you're wearing a Phillies hat or whatever, and I go, hey, how about the Phillies last night? Or how about the Phillies playing? It's the prince and the pauper can talk about it. And it's, you talk about the weather, or you talk about the local sports teams. That is the ultimate, you know, icebreaker. And so I love that outlook and why it really does touch everyone's lives.
Yeah, it's so right. I mean, you must have read my book. I mean, literally at the beginning of my book, I talk about the fact that, you know, as I said, I was a University of Maryland grad, and I talk about the story of where I was going to go into this really, you know, it was going to be a contentious negotiation. And I found out that the person I was actually negotiating with, I don't know if it was him or his wife, went to Maryland. And we talk about this where we basically were going in with our our boxing gloves on, our hands up, ready to go. When we started talking about the Terps, all of a sudden our hands dropped. We were boys. It was all good. And we were able to work something out, right? But that's what it is. That's the one thing about sports. It's incredible. It brings people together. It makes people, you know, brings people from different walks of life, from different, you know, places all around the world, and from different types of views and opinions and political views and this and that. And all of a sudden you're just a fan high-fiving each other, going crazy, cheering for your team.
Oh, I love it so much. So let's talk about where the innovation happens in sports. I've had so many guests on the podcast over the years. Some have told me that innovation is, you know, sports leads the way in a lot of ways. It's sports, and to be crass, sports and porn is where new technology happens. And then other people have come in and told me sports is a laggard. Like they're the last ones to evolve and to get into this new technology. Overall, how do you see it? And are there leading indicators? Are there complementary industries that kind of you can look at to say, hey, this is working here in this industry, it's going to work for sports, or vice versa? To sort of look at what's going to actually be adopted, what's going to actually be able to grow to scale where it is an investable thing. Like, how do you think about just innovation and technology penetration within the greater sports industry? It's a very loaded question, but riff on it.
Yeah, look, I mean, it's a great question, and it's something that we focus a lot on here at 76 Capital is when we start to look around and say, like, okay, we're not the only ones just trying to bring, you know, innovation to the sports industry. We're not trying to bring augmented reality, or we're not trying to bring AI or other types of tech just to the overall, you know, sports industry. But like, you know, who are the biggest players in tech, right? Like what are they thinking about? What are they doing? And, you know, for a long time, I think, you know, what we were saying, Neil, is the fact that like the big tech players were sitting out. I mean, they weren't really in this conversation for a while. It was, you know, the big quote unquote tech player, the big media player was ESPN, right? They're the biggest, right? They were the biggest, the baddest, the worldwide leader in sports, and they're doing their thing. And man, they are doing their thing. And I keep telling people in the sports betting industry, don't sleep on ESPN bet. That is going to be a monster. And it is mainstreaming sports betting in ways that I think people are selling short. But you got to keep an eye on those guys. This fall is going to be big for them. But going back to your point of like kind of understanding that from the technology perspective, there were the biggest technology players were sitting out of the sports world. I mean, to try to get in touch with someone at Google or Apple or Facebook or Meta, whatever you want to call it these days, right? I mean, to find someone that was doing sports was like a needle in a haystack. Okay. I know that you knew some of those guys, but and we knew some of them, but like, it wasn't like that was something that was being discussed at the C level, you know, at those organizations. Now it is, right? The fact of the matter is Amazon coming in Thursday Night Football, Google and YouTube coming in and getting the NFL ticket. The fact of the matter, you've got Christmas just changed its name to Netflix, I think. I mean, holy smokes, what that's going to happen. I mean, Peacock doing their thing with NBC and, you know, the amount of subscribers that they got for just doing one game. And like, oh my God. I mean, it's just these things are crazy to see what's happening. And they're, you know, we see this stuff a lot of the media and the broadcast, you know, and streaming side of things, but there's a lot more happening at those companies as they're really trying to put their, I mean, I didn't even mention MLS and Apple and what Apple's done there. I mean, that is just unbelievable. The fact of the matter is, I mean, I think that new Apple Sports app, another one, don't sleep on that app. Let me tell you something, check that thing out. You know, I mean, I just love, I mean, I want to make sure I get this right. You know, I want to pull it up while we're sitting here, because I think this is one of the funniest things, and it's so Apple and it's so awesome what they've done. When you go on their app and it says, oh, actually they just changed it. I like this. It now, if you try to go on their app and it says, you know, for the NFL, it says off season. NFL returns in July for the 2024-25 season. Like it was before it had something else there. But I mean, the fact of the matter is that there's nothing there. But when that lights up, when the preseason starts for the NFL, I think it's going to look different, because you know it's Apple, and they're going to do something really interesting. And if it's not right, they'll tweak it and they'll continue to make it better. And like, they're going to make an app that is as great as The Score and as great as ESPN. Like, it'll be really, really cool to see that. see what happens, comes next across these major, major tech companies.
No, it's a great point. I mean, you even think back to the NFL playoff game on Peacock. How many old folks, to use a maybe pejorative term, had to ask their kids or had to figure out how to get on this newfangled app because they had to watch the NFL game? And like that alone changed behavior for so many people across the country, across the world, even. And to really get that new behavior going. And
it's amazing. Apple with the Friday night, baseball games. But, just 2 weeks ago, my father-in-law was like, Wayne, get in here. Phillies games on Apple. How the heck do I do this? Like, right? And he's like, do I have to watch it on my phone? I'm like, no, we'll put it on the TV. And he's like, no, really? I'm like, how do you do that? And I'm like, let me show you. I'm like, it's not going to be like that moving forward. People did figure out, how to watch Thursday night football. They're going to figure it out. Don't worry. It's all good.
And we talk about how, kind of sports have really ushered in that whole idea of the second screen. Now every program is trying to have something of a second screen as well. And you guys were really ahead of the curve when it came to, you mentioned earlier about PASPA getting overturned by the Supreme Court and that really opening up the floodgates. You guys were early investors in VSIN and the Vegas Sports Information Network. We can talk about that as well. I would love to just hear about what your outlook was for the growth of sports gambling, sports wagering, however you want to call it, in the U.S. I mean, oftentimes, I think early on we were like, hey, just look at the U.K., look at Europe, and that's going to be us in 5 or 6 years. Is it that black and white, though? Is it going to evolve? Is because we are coming from a different area. It's a new time. There's no more technology. There's more history. There's more economic strategy behind it as well. So when you think about both the, past, present, and future of sports betting in the U.S., is it just as easy as saying copy and paste for the more mature sports betting markets, or is the U.S. going to create something of a new paradigm that maybe the other markets will start to learn from?
Yeah, I think it's the latter. I mean, you hit on it. I mean, this country is crazy about sports, and quite frankly, the world has become even more crazy. Thanks to all of us here. But it's one of those things where, that's why when we saw and heard what happened on May 14th of 2018, I immediately booked my plane tickets to go out west and make investment and negotiate investments and then to make and eventually make investments. And one of those companies was VSiN. And it was to sit down in Vegas and sit down with the guys and go to the South Point. The first time I've ever been into the South Point, what was so cool about that place, it was at the time the only 24-hour sports book, and it was so cool. Like here in the U.S., like to go to a place where this is where it all happened. And the Ghon family put a glass box studio in the middle of the casino, right next to the sports book, and we broadcasted 24 hours a day. And basically was the CNBC of sports betting. It was an awesome experience. Building that business with Brent, with his nephew Brian, the CEO, with Bill Ady. I mean, these guys, not only were amazing, pioneers and really smart guys, but they're just such good people to be around. Always thinking about how to move things forward, how to do the next thing, and do things that other people would have been like, nah, this isn't going to work, right? I mean, but our whole thing was like, wait a second, CNBC broadcasts from the floor of the New York Stock Exchange. Why can't we be broadcasting from the floor of the only 24-hour sports book in the country at the time? Like, it was like, let's go. This is where the action is. This is where it all happens. We're here. We're, these guys are, every single host. I mean, these guys were, they were, it was live fire. Everyone, if you were on the air, you were betting. Like you can't be a host on VSiN if you're not actually really betting your own money. Like, and that's something that we felt was really important. We were able to get some really talented people. And it was a hell of a story. And that was one of the things for us. It was, what we loved about the sort of the past was that we wanted to get behind entrepreneurs who want to do the big thing. In the present right now, we constantly still want to look at entrepreneurs. We still want to get behind entrepreneurs who are pushing things forward and doing the next thing. And part of that today and is another phenomenal story, which came off this, really came out of the whole VSiN story was me, being there one day and Brian Musburger introducing me to Matt Holt, who's the CEO of IC360 now. And it's the company that makes sure that, you know, everything's on the up and up across the whole sports betting industry today. And, you know, Matt he was a host, you know, at VSiN at the time and doing some other things. And he comes off and says to me, I'm going to start this company. It's going to be an integrity business to make sure that everything's on the up and up across sports betting, every single operator, every single regulator, every single team, every single league, you know, every single conference is going to be my client. And I'm like, Matt, like, you know, I've heard entrepreneurs talk like this before. I said, but you know, you don't need everybody. You can just get a small percentage of them and we'll be pretty successful. He goes, no, we're getting everybody. Well, you know what? He's done it. I mean, it's incredible. I mean, to now see all the major operators, all the major leagues, minor leagues, smaller leagues, I mean, you know, different conferences, you know, all the major conferences from the SEC to the Big 12, to the ACC, to the, you know, the Big 10. I mean, all the major guys have been, you know, our clients to, you know, making sure and having this amazing dashboard to see, you know, make sure that everything's going on the up and up. And, you know, they've done a heck of a job. They've expanded their business from into the compliance side of the business where they acquired Eric Frank's company, Odds On Compliance, which we were also the initial investors in and sit on the board of that. And really excited to see Matt and Eric and all the teams come together and, you know, be able to offer a great educational product across the sports betting industry, to be able to now offer, you know, the opportunity to have another, you know, another opportunity, another, you know, option when it comes to geolocation. We're doing amazing partnership with Radar there. And, you know, we're just consistently announcing new, more and more products around the industry. And when I look forward into to think about what's next in sports, I mean, what's in sports betting is it's going to be more innovation. It's going to be more entrepreneurs doing things that are pushing the limits. It's guys like Dylan Robbins and Mike Madding at Lucra and what they've done with their sports betting platform, now with Dave & Buster's, and how we're enabling people to wager against each other playing Papa Shot or Ski Ball or whatever it is. And they could wager for a burger, a beer, or, you know, a couple bucks. I mean, like, you know, to enable that and be the tech platform that enables that. And now we're going to expand that, you know, even further. We started with pickleball and with the Duper app, and now with Dave & Buster's, and hopefully, you know, very soon you'll be hearing about some other massive brands that are starting to, you know, bring this whole gaming mechanic into their experience. And it's just awesome to be around these kinds of people on a daily basis. And, you know, my team and I are really thankful for all the work that our entrepreneurs do.
Hell yeah. No, I love the explanation. And I'm trying to like fit things into like paradigms and how they're going to expand or what I keep coming back to too, which I kind of love, is a little bit of where we started. I don't want to end the conversation quite yet, Wayne, but thinking about that, the aspect of one of those three things you talked about with the sports industry, that social glue aspect. And yes, the cynics might say like, it's going to turn us all into, you know, compulsive gamblers, and we're going to wager our kids' college tuition on whatever outcome. But that's, you know, that's one cynical way to look at it. There's also kind of that way of enhancing relationships with each other or with your favorite teams, or and being at Dave & Buster's or being at a Topgolf, saying, I'm going to bet you I hit this ball farther than you. I'm going to bet you in this game of Cruising USA. I'm dating myself with that reference. But there's that aspect of like, it can be that opportunity to enhance those relationships through this, you know, casual gaming, I guess, for lack of a better way to put it.
Yeah, it's so true. I mean, you just think about it. I mean, we all challenge each other every day, whether that's in work, whether that's when we play, whether that's, you know, just playing a game against somebody else, playing one-on-one and whatever. So I think that this is, you know, now we can, you know, there's a really interesting way where now you can have like a leaderboard, and you can now be with your friends, and you'll know all the things that you challenged each other over the years. And if you, it's just a fun way to keep track, keep score. We all keep keeping score. We all learned, you know, growing up, how to keep score in the book for baseball or whatever. Like, it's one of those things. It's like, this is a way to keep score. This is a way to just continue to play. And it's human nature. We all enjoy it. And we're excited about that. And it's a great thing now to think about how, you know, the technology has enabled us to be able to do things that we weren't able to do in the future.
Yeah.
In the past, I'm sorry. We will be able to.
Let's kind of go back to that kind of like that paradigm conversation. When something happens, like mobile phones come out and we have now real-time location aspects. We have something that happens like generative AI right now, but I'd love to get your thoughts on LLMs and that model. We have PASPA getting repealed, and now you have integrity services that are necessary. You have apps that are necessary to kind of deal with these wagers. You have real-time data providers to get rid of latency or at least minimize as much as possible. You kind of look at like these paradigm shifts, these opportunities, then what are all the tentacles that are going to build off of it? Like, or do you look at like I said, like more mature markets, like in the UK, they have integrity services, they have data providers that are necessary. Like, what is that like when something big happens that is going to change the world, or change the sports industry in this context, I guess? And then are you looking at, here's all the things that are going to evolve around that major change?
Well, I guess the best way to answer is your question is all the above. I mean, we think we can make everything better, right, through the use of today's technologies. The way that use an example of a way you watch games. I mean, the way we watch games today, it's a pretty flat experience. It's whether it's on your phone or they're on your TV, and it's just that's the experience we get. And TVs keep getting bigger and bigger, and we can, and it's awesome to watch, big screen, TV type things. But what if it's truly immersive? What if you're using, AR and you're like in it, you're all of a sudden in it, and you're actually able to like touch it and feel it and move things around and place bets and use your hands to basically, enhance the overall experience, and maybe you're able to see things that other people can't see, and you have your own experience, and you're literally sitting next to your friend on the same couch, but what you're looking at on your on your cough on the coffee table in front of you is different than what your friend's seeing on the coffee table also right in front of you. And that's the kind of stuff that our company Quintar is doing right now. And they're doing that with the PGA Tour. They're doing that with NASCAR. They're doing it with many of other leagues. And there's some really cool things that you're going to be able to now do because of the technology, because we're taking that next step with technology. And that's where, just again, having incredible entrepreneurs like Jay and Jeff from Quintar, and how they did this with VR. Now they're doing this and creating this next the next thing with augmented reality. And you talked about, a little bit earlier about AI and what's happening there. And yeah, there's been machine learning and really great tech, but now with generative AI and how things are really getting smarter and faster, and it's amazing to see, because this is going to affect the results on the field and off the field. And just seeing professional players who, they're up to bat, and they, whether it's a home run or a strikeout, they go back to the dugout, and they're right on that iPad checking out that last at bat, looking at, how they, what, the stats from their swing. They're looking at what the pitcher was doing, where the release point was, all this type of stuff that was the stuff that you would have to wait until after the game, or go into the video room down the corner or down the hall, whatever. But what's cool about all this, Neil, is that not only is this is something that can happen with the professional players in major league dugouts, we're able to now bring this down to anywhere USA, any field, for any kid who's playing baseball, softball, or whatever sport it is. They're getting the opportunity to be able to have the same kind of tech. And that will only mean that these games will get better. It will enable the kids themselves to be better players, to have more confidence, to have more fun, to have more fun. I'm going to say that again, even if it's crazy club ball, whatever it is. But it's like the idea of, if you can do better and you can actually realize that your swing was totally off, but if you're now able to see it and then go, wait a second, okay, it needs to do this, all right, I got it, and go up there, and you then get a hit that next time, or just put that ball in play, it could change a kid's life by just being enabling them to do that. And then, mate, are they going to go to the major leagues? Probably not. But you know what? They may be a fan for life, and that's a big deal for MLB and some of these other major leagues who are really looking to build, fans for life.
I love that. You took on so many different perspectives there too, of the fan, of the viewer, of the athlete. A couple more minutes left here with Wayne Kimmel, Savings Capital. Wayne, the time is flying by. I don't know where it's going. There's so many more things I want to cover, but we'll keep this quick. And I want to think about, like, do you look for those opportunities that are more on the athletic performance side? We talked a little bit about this offline, of like something that's going to help a pitcher understand what's wrong with his windup, or someone's going to help, a golfer with his swing, versus something that's more about like the fan more just targeted to the passive fan, I guess, someone who may not even play the sport, but it's going to help their ability to enjoy the sport. Even if it's not the X and O's level, maybe it's just helping them be more entertained by it, like wagering, for example. Do you look at, are there, because you guys kind of dabble in both worlds, both the opportunities that are helping the athletes on the field, sort of the performance side, as well as the fan engagement stuff, the bit that stuff that's sort of off the court, off the field. So is there a sweet spot for technologies that are going to kind of, you know, live in both worlds and or enhance all of it? Do you see, is there better opportunities in one area over the other? Is one more investable than the other? I don't give away any secret sauce here, of course, but how do you look at that perspective of the investable stuff on the performance side versus the more stuff on the fan engagement side, and where the bigger scale is?
Yeah, you know, I think the answer is both. I mean, and it really, for us, I mean, fan engagement, there's so many cool things there on, you know, as you said, from a betting perspective. You know, we have an amazing company called, you know, Boomerang, which is lost and found. You know, it's an incredible, like, you know, it's like, it's Shazam for lost and found. We can get into it, but it's amazing what they're doing. It's, you know, we have an amazing company called Zatap that all of us, you know, you could wear a scarf and all of a sudden that scarf is your ticket to the game, because it's a digital and physical item. I mean, there's so many cool things around that. I mean, at the same time, you know, you have the technology to, if you're on the field, whether it's companies like Diamond Kinetics, that's the, you know, the baseball and softball tech company that works with Major League Baseball. They're incredible with making bats and balls and sticks, you know, smart to being able to, we just made an incredible acquisition of Sideline HD to now be able to take the video side and create this amazing ESPN like experience where you have, you know, the exit velo in the image of the kid hitting a home run. I mean, it's like incredible to see, and it all just works. It's all through this amazing technology. So, you know, we're excited about all the different pieces of the business world. I mean, to be able to like really think about, you know, from a, going back to the fan engagement side of this, is, I mean, if you really think about being able to customize and personalize your experience on a sports betting app, that's not how it is today, right? I mean, you think about how it is. I mean, you and I are in totally different places right now, and we both turn on whatever app we want, whether it's FanDuel, DraftKings, et cetera. You know, we fire up our app and it'll be the same thing, yeah. You know, but it should, you know, if I'm sitting here in Philly, it should have, you know, it should know that I'm a huge Eagles fan. It should know that I want to, you know, pick Jalen Hurts to be the, you know, MVP of the league this year. But we're not there yet. We're getting there. We're getting close. There are companies like Epoxy that are helping these sports books to be able to enable this kind of stuff. But like right now, we're not 100% there. We're getting there, but we will get there. We will have an experience like with Amazon. Amazon knows everything about you, right? Amazon knows that, you know, somehow they knows that my sneakers are like out of tread before I even look down at them. Like they're like, yo, get some sneakers. You haven't gotten them in a while. You know what I mean? Like they just know stuff. They know stuff about your house. They know stuff about you. That's the kind of thing where we're going to go with the sports world. And that's where all this tech is going to enable us to have an even better experience. And I'll tell you something, the one thing we really haven't touched on is that one of the area that is huge for us at 76 Capital is also our relationships with the athletes. It's super important. It's really important for us to have relationships with the highest level athletes. It's why we have our 76 Capital Athlete Venture Group. It's why, because we want to be able to, you know, work with the most elite athletes for them to be able to say, if we're doing something on the field, you know, look, we're not kidding ourselves. I played high school basketball and baseball, but I mean, I can't, you know, pick up a ball and tell you, you know, if this feels like a major league ball or if there's something's wrong with it, if it's got technology in it. But these MLB, you know, pitchers, they can. If guys like Alejandro Bedoya, who's the chairman of our athlete venture group, I mean, he knows soccer a little bit, right? I mean, to say the least. Right. I mean, it's amazing, you know, playing on all those, you know, USA teams, playing in Europe, playing, you know, as the captain of the Philadelphia Union. I mean, the guy knows what he's doing and he really understands, you know, the game, and he's played at the highest levels. Guys like James Devlin, who were in the huddle with the greatest of all time, you know, Tom Brady doing his thing. Oh, yeah. He was in the locker room sitting right next to him and Gronk and being there with, you know, and really hearing like what Belichick was saying, you know, what was Belichick talking about, right? At halftime of when they were, you know, down however many points they were when they came back in the Super Bowl. Like these guys have been there. They've won the rings. They have the ring. They know what it's like to be a champion. And that's something really, really great to have around the hoop here at 76 Capital.
I love that we were able to touch on that. Last, before you wait for us, the shareable stat, I promise we'll get out of here in just a moment. And I want to like kind of jump off that a little bit of where do you look for that innovation? I mean, in some ways, like, is it the small emerging leagues that are really like open to experimentation? Because there's no innovator's dilemma there, and some of these big brands like aren't in the way, so to speak. Or is it the bigger teams that have the resources to take flyers? Or is there stuff happening behind closed doors that, you know, the Eagles or Patriots or Phillies are doing that we don't even know about because they don't want anyone else to know about their secret sauce? Like, where do you tend to look for innovation? And is there stuff happening that we just aren't, the general public's not aware of?
Well, there's definitely stuff behind closed doors in a lot of those organizations that they're not even going to tell me where this stuff is. I mean, you know, maybe they'll tell you, Neil, I don't know, but I'd love to see some of that. But I'll tell you, you know, what's amazing is that, you know, for the most part, we have this amazing open door here at 76 Capital where we're just reaching out to, you know, and saying, you know, come on in and let's talk about what's next in sports. And, you know, we're thrilled about that. We see a ton of entrepreneurs. I mean, it's upwards of 170 new opportunities that come in the door every single month, you know, all from all over the world. It's amazing. It's really, really amazing to think about all the entrepreneurs, all the innovation that are trying to figure out like what's the next thing across sports, media, entertainment. And we're thrilled to take a look at all this stuff, try to figure out how we can be part of it and do more and more. We want to do more and more. We're constantly, you know, trying to, you know, get behind more of these incredible entrepreneurs who are trying to make it all happen. That's what it's all about. And that's why we constantly reach out. And that's why I love doing shows like yours and reaching out and telling people the story of 76 Capital, how we want to get behind entrepreneurs who are trying to push the limits and trying to do something that'll transform, whether that's Major League Baseball, the NFL, the AFL over in Australia, or, you know, who knows, right? I mean, like, whatever that next thing is, we want to be there. We want to try to, you know, help make things happen. And that's why, you know, we do this stuff. That's why we do our podcasts. That's why we do our, you know, our 76 Capital This Week in Sports Business, where it comes out every Sunday at 11 a.m. You can subscribe for free. And we want to be part of that community and really foster innovation across sports, media, entertainment.
Oh man, I'm ready to run through a brick wall, Wayne, and change the world one day at a time, one deal at a time, one company at a time. But we're going to start coming up with our elevator pitches section. First episode of Shareable Stat coming up right now. Awesome stuff from Wayne Kimmel, managing partner of 76 Capital. Just tons of good insight. He has been part of this industry for many years and has made a lot of winning bets, no pun intended, as they continue to upend and change and disrupt and progress the industry with all their portfolio companies and continuing to do so moving forward as their companies continue to grow and 76 Capital continues to deploy more capital to up-and-coming entrepreneurs who are looking to improve and change and enhance this great industry we call sports. But stick around because we're having some more fun with Wayne and learn more from him in our elevator pitches segment. But first, episode's shareable stat. This episode's shareable stat comes from ESPN. You know, you heard Wayne talk a little about ESPN Bet and not to bet against them, so to speak. He also mentioned about Apple as well and their Apple Scores app. This episode's shareable stat comes from ESPN, and it is that ESPN's social media platforms, their social media accounts across Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, reach 91% of 18 to 34-year-olds on social media in the United States. 91% of that age range, 18 to 34-year-olds, across Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, the group of users that are on social media, ESPN reaches over 9 out of 10. That's a stat we often see. You know, Snapchat, we'll talk about that as well. But for an individual brand, ESPN, to reach that many just shows an incredible reach and engagement with their audience. Why do we bring up that episode, that shareable stat today, though? It's really to think about how you are looking at your own organization's social media reach and engagement. We often, you know, default to the metrics, of course. What are we doing? What objectives are we able to accomplish through our social media? But thinking about where do demographics fit into it? And that's a lot of what partners are interested in as well. You know, thinking about when you're pitching to core partners, when your core partnerships team is pitching social media activations, digital activations to your potential sponsors. How can you boast about those individual demos you're reaching, whether that is 18 to 34-year-olds like they're used to trying to reach through, you know, television ads and other ad platforms, or it could be, you know, certain demographics around, you know, nationalities, whether they're looking to reach Hispanics or, you know, families or young adults in this case as well. And how can you help equip them as well? You know, we will often see teams and organizations and leagues boast about their stats like ESPN was able to do. Can you, when you have a big milestone or doing your end of year reports, can you create shareable creative, whether or not it goes on your platforms, or maybe it goes onto the LinkedIn platforms of your VP of partnerships, or maybe you equip them with that kind of stuff to be able to integrate into their decks as well. How are you helping to really understand what metrics are meaningful to those potential partners that are going to ultimately invest in your digital and social platforms and help you do more cool stuff, more cool shit, more cool content, more cool activations? How can you really start to, you know, look at, scrutinize what are the stats they're interested in? How can we better scrutinize our own metrics? So yes, look at impressions, look at engagement, look at individual engagement rates across platforms, but start to dive in a little more deeply. And maybe you can have your own really cool stat like ESPN does in the social shareable stat. Again, that stat is across ESPN's Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, they reach 91% of 18 to 34 year olds in the United States that are on social media. Really cool stuff. Interesting shareable stat. Think about it, ponder it, discuss it, but more importantly, stick around for some elevator pitches with Wayne Kimmel of 76 Capital. Right back in this episode's shareable stat, and I'm joined once again by Wayne Kimmel. We could have been recording as well offline. I just cannot get enough of this guy. He is the managing partner of 76 Capital. He's also the board member of several of their portfolio companies and other companies. He hosts his own podcast, 76 Capital Sports Leadership Show. Just so engrossed into this industry and tons of knowledge, as you heard in the interview section. Are you now ready, Wayne, to hear a few elevator pitches?
I'm ready.
All right, number one. This should be a fun one. Besides the first day, because that seems a little cliche, besides the first day, what is the most memorable single day for you with 76 Capital, for whatever reason?
May 14th, 2018, as I said earlier, when the Supreme Court made that decision, man, it was huge. We knew we had to dive in head first and go after the entrepreneurs who were going to do the next thing in the sports industry, the sports betting industry.
There's a before that date and then after that date, and it will never be the same since. I love it. Number two for Wayne, tell me, it could be an interesting one. Tell me the portfolio company that had everything figured out the most from day one, and then the portfolio company that has kind of evolved most effectively, whether it was a pivot or just a major evolution. What was kind of that one that that transformed a little bit more, and what was the one that sort of, you know, had that vision 100% down from day one, or maybe not 100%, but close to it?
Well, I think the company from day one, we talked about it earlier, was VEASAN. I mean, they knew they wanted to be the CNBC of sports betting, and like they got it from day one, and they were like, that's it. And I would say the company that has moved and has really hit its groove has been Lucra Sports, and what they're doing is they went out as a really I wouldn't, you know, a pretty special peer-to-peer sports gaming business, but now being the technology platform for major brands now, and what they're doing from a gaming perspective and enabling these major brands to unlock the gaming and competitive piece of their business is just brilliant.
Oh, I love that Lucre story, from going from just a solution to a true platform that you can build on top of. And it's really cool. That's where the sky's the limit for that kind of solution. Number three for you, we didn't talk much about Web3, NFTs, Metaverse, everyone talk about it. So tell me, if there is one, the Web3 use case in sports that you're most bullish on.
Yeah, I mean, we actually did touch on it really quickly when I talked about the scarf as your ticket. I mean, that's the whole, you know, physical and digital use case. I think it's a huge opportunity. It's one of the things I'll shout out Peter Luco over at OVG, who talks about, you know, hey, we need a better solution for tickets. And I think that we got it, Peter. You know that.
Hell yeah. No, especially as the secondary market continues to explode, like being able to understand the provenance of a ticket, just super interesting to see that kind of evolve. Number four, I want to put your fan hat on. Your fan hat's probably always on. Tell me the most memorable game you've ever attended. It could be college, pro. What's that? When you close your eyes, picture yourself in a game, what's that most memorable game?
The most memorable game for me was the World Series when the Phillies were playing against the Yankees. And there was a rain delay in one of the games. And my son, Hunter, was young at the time. And we stood on the concourse, you know, during the rain delay, and he slept on my shoulder, and I'll never forget that moment.
Oh, that is awesome. That's you know, that's sports bringing together families and making lifelong memories. That is that's phenomenal. Number five, everyone, tell me, think going to the podcast, the 76 Sports 76 Sports Leadership Show, the podcast that you host, has several good guests on. Tell me the most memorable insight or anecdote from that show so far that kind of sticks with you, and also the prospective guest at the top of the list for the show. Who's that one you have your eye on?
Well, I would say, you know, one of the best moments I'd say was really having Contessa Brewer on the show from CNBC. She's, you know, really is the one who handles all the gaming stories for CNBC. And one of the moment was when she flipped the mic on me and started asking me questions. I said, hold on a second, this is my show. You can't ask me questions on this show. And we were just cracking up. But that was a lot of fun. Always love having her on the show. And, you know, I'll tell you, I would say that, you know, the guests that, you know, I got to have a commissioner. You know, I haven't had a current commissioner on the show of one of the major sports leagues. I mean, I started the whole show. My first guest ever was David Stern, and it was amazing man. And that was one of my favorite interviews ever. And it's out there, and he was incredible. And unfortunately, it was the last public interview that he did. Wow. Prior to passing. He was just such a great man, and such a good friend to me.
Wow. Yeah, definitely check out that interview and just subscribe to the show, because it's always good guests on, always good conversations, and really, really easy to listen to as well. Number six for you, coming down the wire here with Wayne Kimmel of 76 Capital. Tell me the number one piece of advice that you tend to give startup founders, whether they're in your portfolio or not. What's that mantra, that piece of advice that you find yourself giving over and over again?
Well, it's what I talk about all the time. You just got to keep making it happen. You got to keep moving forward. That's what it's all about. I mean, that's the whole thing. I mean, you just got to keep pushing, keep working hard. It'll all happen for you.
Oh, I like it. Persistence is definitely key for entrepreneurs. All right, number seven. You talked about just the sheer volume of pitches that you guys hear. Some of which end up coming into the 76 Capital family, some of which don't. So tell me, for whatever reason, whether it was because it was incredible or just incredibly crazy, or incredibly dumb, for lack of a way to put it, the most memorable pitch you've heard from a company, in whether it was a portfolio company or one that did not get end up in 76.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, I said it earlier, Matt Holt from US Integrity, now IC360, when he said, I'm going to get every single, you know, operator, every single league, as a client. And he did it, just super impressed, super impressive. I mean, he was named one of the most influential people in all of college sports last year. And I would say he's one of the most influential people all across sports. I mean, the company itself, US IC360, was named the number one sports betting company by Sports Business Journal. They just won that award and beating out ESPN Bet, DraftKings, FanDuel, and Genius. I'm so proud of them.
That's so awesome. Congrats to you and 76 team, and of course to everyone at IC360. It's so cool. So like, it's easy to say, oh yeah, the you know, sports wagering is about to blow up. Someone needs to manage the integrity of that. But then to actually go out and do it and actually, you know, be able to operate and execute, like, that's such a huge differentiator. And they've crushed it, obviously, for good reason. And you know, great company to have under the 76 name. All right, Wayne, time for our food question. I always ask your food question. Tell me, if I go out there and we hang out in the greater Philly area, what's the best meal to get, and where are we going?
Well, I think, you know, you just go to Wawa, man. You can get anything there. No, I mean, I'll tell you, I do love that. But there's so many great Italian spots in Philly. I mean, the veal parm's my favorite thing. So I love getting, you know, veal parm, whether that's it, you know, just there's so many great Italian places in Philly. I don't need to call them all out, but I mean, that's my go-to.
Hell yeah. I'll head out there. We'll get some veal parm sandwiches and have a great time. I love it. All right, last one for you, Wayne. Tell me the 76 portfolio company that you think is most poised to really blow up this year, or just one that we haven't really talked about enough yet that you want to shout out. Like, what's that company that you think this time next year, everyone in the world is going to know about it?
Well, you know, I think we talked about it a little bit, but I think it's Lucra. Really, really excited about the growth there, what they have to do. I mean, look, I could throw Quintar in there. I think Diamond Kinetics is unbelievable what they're doing. I mean, I'm just so proud of all these companies. You know, IC360. I mean, our companies are, you know, I'm leaving a couple of them out, but you know, like, I'm just so proud of all of the entrepreneurs that we've had the opportunity to invest in and partner with. And they're all our favorite. It's all part of our family. We love working with them. We talk about all of them as being part of the overall 76 Capital family.
Sounds spoken like a proud papa. I love to hear it. And certainly all companies worth keeping an eye on, because they're really doing things that are transforming this industry every day. All right, Wayne, you crushed your elevator pitches. Now your chance to take over the podcast and tell us your social media all-star follow. It doesn't have to be someone on social media. It can be anyone you want. Tell us who they are and why they're worth following.
You know, I'll tell you, whether it's social media, whether it's on TV or not, I just love following Pat McAfee. I think he's amazing. Yeah. I think he's blowing up the model. I think he's breaking it up. He's changing the way you watch TV today. He's changing, you know, he's also such a good interviewer. You know, he's kind of like this generation's, I would say, like Howard Stern in a way, where people just, you know, are able to really, he's able to get a lot out of people. You learn a lot from him. He and his crew, I mean, man, they look funny, but they're, and it's, it, the show's funny, but it's one of those things where, you really tune in and you listen, you can learn a lot.
Love that answer. I mean, who would have thought if we just said 15 years ago that the punter for the Colts is going to be the most influential person in sports media, you know, in 2024, or at least among the most influential, who the hell would have believed you? But here we are today, and McAfee's, you know, all over the place. And how about you, Wayne? Where can we find you, as well as all things 76 Capital across digital and social?
Sure. I mean, you could find me at Wayne Kimmel almost anywhere, all spelled out, Wayne Kimmel, on 76 Capital, you know, at 76 Capital everywhere as well. And, you know, we have our 76 Capital Sports Leadership Show, which is on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and on our 76 Capital website. And I mentioned this earlier, you can subscribe on our website as well to This Week in Sports Business, our newsletter that comes out every single Sunday at 11 a.m. Eastern time. And it's amazing. It's amazing to be on the show. Neil, I appreciate it so much. And thanks for having me.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for giving us some of your time and knowledge. And definitely, folks, check out the podcast, check out the newsletters. They also will post job postings from their portfolio companies as well. If you want to work in the greater sports space, it's a good opportunity, and just so much good opportunity to learn from you and from your companies as well about where this industry is going, Wayne.
Yeah, I mean, look, and at the same time, please reach out to us, you know, on our website, me directly at Wayne Kimmel. I mean, you know, on our website at 76 Capital, you know, if you're one of those entrepreneurs that are really doing the next thing and you've got something incredible, we want to meet you. We want to hear from you. We want to see if there's ways we can work together and do some amazing things across the sports industry.
Awesome, awesome stuff with Wayne Kimmel, managing partner of 76 Capital. Again, also the host, as you heard, of the 76 Capital Sports Leadership Show, as well as behind their newsletter, their weekly This Week in Sports Business newsletter. Check that out as well. Cannot thank Wayne enough for coming on the podcast today, sharing some of his knowledge and insight into this industry, and continue to check out 76 Capital and their portfolio companies as they continue to, you know, help this industry move forward and uncover new and interesting fan behaviors and insights and opportunities in the greater sports space. But that'll do for this episode of the Digital and Social Media Sports Podcast. Thanks again for listening. As always, I'm your host, Neil Horwitz. You can find me on Twitter, NJH287, also on LinkedIn, where I post more content. The websites are dsmsports.net, as well as the side hustle website, slyke.co, S-L-Y-K-E. Until next time, this is Neil Horwitz signing off for the Digital and Social Media Sports Podcast.